Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. You know, we are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is, well, May 3rd, 2018. In turmoil, most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program with anything, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number, 316-619-4886, and you can also send me a text with your phone number to that number. Sometimes it's easier to do that because of all of the soliciting calls that we get nowadays. Anyway, you can find updates of the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And we are what? Well, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. I'm sorry, I had to take a sip of water there. Anyway, on another note, let's thank our listener base in places like Cape Town, South Africa, Vienna, Australia, Iran, I can't pronounce the name of the city, anyway, Espoo, Finland, Sydney, Australia, and of course cities in the good old United States such as San Francisco, California, Corpus Christi, Texas, San Jose, California, Lexington, Kentucky, and Omaha, Nebraska. These are just to name a few. And of course, Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. So please follow and share with us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Messiah's Branch 77 on Twitter. Follow us and share us with others. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I really pray radio tonight goes according to your will, and that they really get this message, Father, because this is a message that they do need to hear. Lift the veil from their eyes, Father. So please, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. What is biblical repentance? What is real repentance? Is there a secret little code that we should follow, or is it this long, drawn-out prayer that some preachers tell us that we say this prayer? Is it a secret code? What is it? So when I asked our tonight's guest, I said, you haven't been on in a little while, so time for you to come back on. Do you have something that you'd like to talk about? And he pointed this out, that he was just asked this question, what is biblical repentance? So I said, great subject, come on, and we'll talk about it. So tonight we have back on with us Tom Mack. Yeah, he's a school principal, and he's owner at White Cottage Publishing Company. He lives in Trinidad, Colorado. Publishing company means if you got a book that you want to get published, talk it over with him. He's an A-plus certified computer technician, a Net-plus certified network technician. He's also a book designer, a webmaster. And in the past, you know, he's even did things like he's been an airport administrator. That would be a really big job. Oh, and also a manager and controller. I wouldn't want to be responsible for airplanes landing on the ground, I can tell you that. Anyway, we should also mention at one time he was also a tax specialist, so he's real good with numbers, I would imagine. He's also did research with Bible codes since 1996. Now, that's 20-plus years of code research. And so he's got a great background. He's an educated guy, and he knows what he's talking about. So welcome now, Tom Mack.
Oh, you know, thank you for having me on.
Well, it's glad to have you on. You know, I enjoy having people like you on. I just, you know, I try not to overly burden you with a lot of programs. And I like to keep a variety going, but you're definitely one. I have about six people that are what I call regulars, and you are definitely one of them. Back to you.
Thank you, Pastor Catlin. I'm gratified to know that. I sometimes wonder how I do when I get on some of these programs, and I don't get on a lot of them, but yours is one I enjoy getting on because we don't get to talk for a long time, but what we get to talk about, we talk about in really good depth. That's what I'm hoping we can do tonight, because just the last few weeks I watch a lot of YouTube videos these days, mm-hmm. and I have seen so many that have perverted what this thing called biblical repentance. I have watched so many people, and I have to admit it probably started in the 1940s when the Southern Baptist Convention came up with a little slogan for 1944. They said it was called A Million More in 44. And at that point, they sent Billy Graham and a whole bunch of other people out to evangelize the world and to bring 1 million more members into the Southern Baptist Convention. Mm-hmm. They didn't quite make it, but they put out quite an effort.
Right.
And, you know, it was ambitious because there was no television in 1944. We were in the middle of World War II, and so it was not an easy prospect because a lot of their younger preachers were at war. Some of them was a chaplain, others doing other stuff. So ambitious, but the thing that started happening in this time period is that they realized that they didn't have any kind of a formulation to define what is a Christian.
Hmm.
So they designed one. Didn't necessarily follow Torah, didn't follow the Bible in general. They came up with a new catchphrase, accept Christ as your personal Savior. Never mind, that's not in the Bible anywhere.
Okay, I got a question. I really am. Yeah, you just excited me. This is real meat. That's when they came up with that catchphrase, really? I mean, I wondered. Back to you.
Yeah, as I said, the Southern Baptist Convention at that point in time, there's a lot of people that pulled out for about the last 30 years because, and I guess the best words to use is Frank Norris's phrase, creeping liberalism.
Yeah.
And probably most of you don't know, Frank Norris was the 50-year pastor of First Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. He took a fledgling church and he popped 10,000 people every Sunday by the time he was done. And not only that, he pastored two churches simultaneously, one in Detroit, Michigan, and one in Fort Worth, Texas. So he was on the plane a lot. But he was very, very critical, as were a lot of other people, of the fact that the Southern Baptist Convention and a lot of other large churches were becoming very liberal. They were allowing a lot of the higher critical movement teachings to wander into their organizations and into their seminaries. And so by the time they'd watered things down so much, they realized they hadn't come up with a defining point or some way to include people. So that's where accept Christ as your personal Savior came in. And it took off. Billy Graham in the late 40s, he got his big break when the newspapers started, one of the editors started pushing little two-word phrase, Puff Graham, which in the newspaper business means that we're going to do everything we can to support this guy. And suddenly his name was all over the papers on the West Coast, and suddenly Billy Graham had a Los Angeles crusade, again another word that I don't find in the Bible.
Right.
And it lasted something like 4 weeks, which in those days was an incredible time to run one set of meetings. Usually you do them for 3, 4, 5 days at most. And here's a man that does it for a month. Suddenly, he emerges as a superstar. And he goes all over the world. And I don't have to tell too many people the story of Billy Graham.
Right.
It's pasted everywhere. He just died a little while ago. And so, I mean, every time I go to a supermarket checkout counter, I see a little magazine about Billy Graham that they just published. And, I mean, he's been the, quote, pastor to presidents, which I worry a little about that because there's something to be said about not being friends with this world. But again, he opened up a new world for them. And he also...
Amen. I like it. Let me give you a comment. No, we're not supposed to be friends with the world, but, you know, presidents do need a pastor, amen. And right now I will say that Trump is being ministered to by more than one pastor, absolutely. But, yeah, I get what you're saying, and I'm not really in disagreement with you. I'm just kind of making a clarification for the people. Back to you.
Okay, yeah. Yes, I do. That's one thing I think is to President Trump's credit, is he's not getting his advice from one or two people. He's listening to several. Some of them I agree with, some of them I don't.
Right.
And I'm not going to state who tonight. But the biggest thing is at least he is getting spiritual counsel. We haven't seen that from the previous few presidents.
Right.
And
it
troubles me when I'm supposedly the leader of a Christian nation, with the exception of Mr. Obama, a leader of a Christian nation does not have counselors, at least Christian counselors of some kind, giving him some kind of guidance. And
yeah. You really hit a big point there. That's absolute. I mean, you know, you get, if you're not getting a guy, look, you need to have a Christian to guide you, especially the biggest, actually he's the leader of the world almost, you know what I'm saying? And so you definitely want him to have Christian counseling, is that the right thing to do? And even in, like, with Trump, he has different points of view from different Christian pastors, you know, and, it, you know, so, hey, and we also get confirmation that way, just like Carl Gallup that comes on here. He knows personal pastors that have been there with him and prayed with him and laid hands on him and know his heart now because he's a repentant person now. They believe that he actually believed in Christ before he ran for office, but after he started running, he made a real committal. So that's what I have to say about him. But yeah, we're going in a good direction. This is a great subject that you need to get across here back to you.
Okay, well, what happens? You know, suddenly we have another phenomenon that started up in the late 70s, early 80s, called mega churches. Churches with 10,000 members. And in most every one of these, you listen to their evangelistic messages, and it's accept Christ as your personal Savior.
Yeah.
Almost without exception. But sadly, as I start to evaluate this, I start seeing some very strange things happening in these organizations. Suddenly you're seeing pastors with six and even seven figure salaries, which I have a little trouble with that. I've looked at some of the offices of some of these places, and you see a pastor with an office that rivals a Fortune 500 president. And that, again, this is not what I see when I read the scriptures. The first thing I read when I read the scriptures is repent. What does repent mean? In Greek, it literally means to change your mind, to turn around and go into the other direction. Give you a little Torah teaching on it. Exodus 13:17-18. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. What does that mean? They turn around, they go back to Egypt. They're headed to the promised land. They see the Philistines, which were Nephilim. Or a lot of them were. And they get scared. You know, you read the Torah and you see the development of a people, a development of a nation. And at this point when they were leaving, they weren't a nation. They were a mob of people. And because of that, the Lord knew better than to send them straight into the promised land. Because the Philistines were there, and when the people saw war, they were going to turn around and go the other way, which is also another meaning of repent. When you repent, you turn around, you go the other way. You're walking in into hell, but you turn around and you're walking in to the promised land.
Yeah,
just as the Israelites did.
I got one for you. Last year, or about 2 years ago, maybe three, when we were doing a Bible study at the Mission Church, we try to break down and broke it down to a real to a simpler thing, and I'm not trying to make it a catchphrase. And just to remember it, it's either you can remember it like RRAT or as we call it RRAT, which is realization that you're a filthy rotten pig and you know you can't make it without Yeshua. Repentance, which you're talking about, repentance. Repenting of the things that you did wrong, accepting it as Messiah, and to make that sacrifice and be able to get in. And the last one is the T, which is turning away. While that is really all condensed in one thing, we just broke it down with a few letters, but it's really all one thing. Back to you.
Yes. Acronyms help people to remember. And this is, but that is the big thing, is when you meet Yeshua, he changes your heart. Suddenly, you love him. You don't want to do what you did before. So you turn away and turn towards Yeshua. Because before you were walking away, now you're walking towards him. Some people are quite a far away, and so it takes them a little while to get closer. Whereas other people weren't that far away when they turned around, and they get a little closer. But we're still all the same in Yeshua. We're all one people.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, we did a program before this talking about the body of Messiah, you know, and how we need each other. My wife and I did it. It's a good program. You should listen to it. All of you should listen to it. But, you know, how we need each other, you know, and we need to help each other. And you know, you can't, if you cut off your foot because your foot stumbled for a minute and it was wrong for a minute, you cut off your foot, you're crippled, you know, and so on. So we need each other, and we are in it together. We're one in Yeshua. Back to you.
In fact, when we get to the next half hour, I'll talk a little bit about the Nicolaitan doctrine, which tried to undermine what Yeshua intended. I will say this much right now about the Nicolaitan doctrine. It's the only thing Yeshua ever said that he hated.
Yeah, amen. And I'm more than glad to hear you tell us about that. Amen. So, look, before we get any deeper, because, you know, we got about a minute and a half before break. So tell them about your website and what you can find over there. Some people never heard of you before. They need to know about the Bible codes and the other things that you do. And you got about, half a minute or a minute to do that.
Okay. Main website for where all my research is WhiteStoneFoundation.org. And you can go there, and there's even a link there for every other website I have. I also do BibleCodes.co, CO for Colorado. And it's where I put most of my Bible code research, and when I get new stuff, it goes up there. And I haven't put up YouTube videos or anything on it, but people keep encouraging me to do so, but, you know, it's there. My publishing company is whitecottagepublishing.com, and it's, if you have a manuscript, you want to turn it into a book, we can do that for you. Not only that, we can do it a lot less than most of these other big publishers, and your book will be the same or even better quality, because I go through every line of every book that I publish. And
well, amen. I got to cut you off, brother. We got to go to break. Folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we're really glad to be back with you. And boy, you hear that's Paul Wilbur music from Arise Jerusalem, and I just love that. You should check out the album. You can even see it on YouTube. It really, really will inspire you. Anyway, moving right along. Okay, yeah, let's wait and see. Brain lock there. Anyway, folks, people ask us over and over what we do, and I try to point, without going into anything lengthy and great, I try to point to this. In James chapter 2, it says this. In James 2:14, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man says he has faith and not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, he may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" And folks, that means somebody comes to you and asks you for something, and you have something there that can help him, and you just lay hands on him and pray him and say, "I pray for you, get that. We'll see you later, brother. We prayed for it. God will give it to you." But yet, the Father probably sent him to you, and you have something that you could give him right there. That's, you're supposed to do that. We're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. That means, we're supposed to help our neighbors. And, nobody's saying that works gets you into heaven. What we're saying that works is a natural thing. If you believe and your faith is and you believe the word, then the works are a natural thing from that. Because like we were talking about in a program a minute ago, we go nearer to Christ because we love him. It says we love him, and hereby we do keep his commandments because we love him. And so we do these things, love your neighbors, help each other, do these things because we love Christ. And that proves that we love him by serving others. Now, I'm not trying to con you just so I can get a donation out of you, but this is the way things is. This is why we do what we do. So pray about it. And I want to really thank, I've got folks in Texas told me they was going to start sending a donation more than once, on a continual basis. They didn't say how long or whatever, but we received a second donation from them, and I just want to tell you, it helped. Thank you very much. And so we do look like things are starting to turn. Like I say, I think by the middle to late summer, when the economy, people start getting the full breath of the better economy, that it's going to be better for us to help the people. And that's what we're about. The money comes, we put it into the mission church. And if you don't believe me, you should listen to my wife. She was on a program with me a while ago. Yeah, I laugh out loud. I agree with you. Anyway, so pray about it. We are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as you are listening to radio, and it's not free. And donations keep us on the air. And it's a new month. I need to pay airtime. So you can donate online or mail a check or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're talking with Tom Mack, who was over there laughing at my wife's comment. Are you there with us, Tom? Of course I'm.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know how them women are, she's a blessing to have. She's fun to have on because she's so blatantly honest, she'll just tell you what. Ask her a question if you want to hear the truth, you're going to get it, And it doesn't matter who she's around, where she's at, or if she's on, national, international radio, back to you.
She's going to say what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. She don't know anything.
The Lord did not make man to live alone. And you're in a very important ministry, which I feel you are, it doesn't work well without the wife. Because there's just a lot of things that women do that a man just can't do.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's very true. And, you know, that's part of the deal, and that's why the world is so messed up right now. They're trying to blur their lines and say there isn't even such thing as, oh, it's all just one gender and blah, blah, blah. And women have an incredible job. I cannot, you know, she's my other half. She functions in ways that I just can't grasp. And the same, like, too, that's the same with me, but fitted together, it works. You know what I'm saying? Back to you.
And, yeah, I agree fully with you on that, because there's so many things they can do. There's just creative sections that they add that we'd never think of.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that picture on the wall in your living room. Would you have thought of that? But she did.
Yeah. You walk into my house and you said something. Let me throw something out here. You walk into my house and you'll see my children in all stages of growing up, family pictures that she forced us into, that I used to say, oh, it's time for another family portrait. And she found a way to get it done, even though we didn't have any money. You know, oh, I've got a contest that I enter every year. And now I go into my house and I'm like, wow, man, look at us. We changed every year. And this kid looked like that kid. But there's a family portrait, you know, of all those years. And it's such a blessing. And I wouldn't have did it. Back to you.
But it reminds you of what you've accomplished every day.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And yeah, so, yeah, without the woman, it'd be awful boring. But, you know, I think the Father, you know, sometimes I go, Father, I just want to give her back to you. I know you gave her to me, but you take her back for a little bit and straighten this out, you know. And, I'm serious, and, you know, but I get over it that way, and I get ministered to, and everything. We've been together 33 years. That's all I can say, I guess. Back to you.
And, yes, and, yes, you know, there's an order that the Torah specifies for everything. And I think the number one piece of order is the man and the wife. And without it, it's hard for most men to move forward. Because for one thing, you don't have that one person that's close enough to you that can tell you anything. Most people are not going to tell you everything you need to know. But you can count on your mother, you can count on your wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe to a lesser extent, your daughters. But it's...
Right.
But, you know, moving on here, you know, we've been talking about repentance and... In fact, that is the number one building block in the Christian faith. If you go to Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, they talk about seven building blocks. And the repentance from dead works is number one on that list. Without it, nothing else works. So it's important we understand what it is. And we understand what is expected. And right now, most of what we see in the church world is teaching this. They're teaching a simplified form. And suddenly, what do we get? We get 10,000 people stuffed in a building. We're clueless. And clueless because they don't, because they're not being taught. And so, you know, basically what they do, they stuff them in there. They show up on Sunday. They may show up on Wednesday. But the rest of the week, they're sort of lost. Maybe they have a home group mixed in there. but you can't really manage what's going to be go on in those home groups. And you end up with a mess because nothing is biblically based. Nothing is the way it should be. It's a mess.
Right.
And it sort of leads into the one of the biggest problems of it is the top-down approach. You have the exalted leadership leading this thing, and then what do you have below it? Confusion. You have the Nicolaitan doctrine, which if you translate Nicolaitan, Nico is Greek for to rule over, and Latin is where we get our word laity from. So it means to rule over the masses. And the devil loved nothing better than to have a few leaders that he can pick off, that he can put under a lot of pressure. Because, you know, eventually, when you put a pressure on somebody, eventually they're going to crack. And they're going to do something. It's almost on a monthly basis. I read some story about some megachurch leader who's had an affair. And I don't think it's because that person departed from the faith necessarily, but what I did think he did, I think he had a little bit too much pressure put on him. That pressure to perform, to do, and to do all these things to earn that six-figure salary. And eventually, the pressure gets to him. And that's why I don't believe that these huge churches are even close to scriptural.
Let's go with this for a second. You know about the Moses, by his daddy-in-law, was told that, hey, you know, that's too much for you, Moses, because he was taking everything on himself. And so they made a breakdown. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Exodus, I think it's 15.
Yeah. And so, you know, he took advice and did that, and it worked. So if there is I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a completely huge church if they are spending the money wisely, taking care of the poor and really bringing people in and going out into the streets and getting people saved. But the point is the leadership factor. One person cannot minister to seven. It's hard for one pastor to minister to over 10 or 20 people. It's hard for a pastor, if he's a real pastor. You understand what I'm saying? Because that means he's got to listen to all the problems. He's got to pray with each one of them. He's got to hurt when the sheep hurt, and so on and so forth. That's why we have the body of Messiah, and it's broken down with the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. What you have is a problem of one leadership, one control, and no breakdown. Back to you.
Yes, and unfortunately, most of them, I will admit, they do have sort of a management team. But below that is nothing. Or below that, they have a lot of volunteer people that, because they're not being paid, they don't have any true managerial control over, like you would in, say, a corporation, where everybody's getting paid for their work. And when you get paid, you're responsible to the boss. Whereas a pastor really can't be a boss because there's a lot of people that aren't getting paid that are still given responsibilities. Sometimes they do them, sometimes they don't. It would be better if you take those 10,000 people, break it down, put them into smaller groups, and then let those smaller groups take care of their own leadership.
Right.
And also I'm starting to wonder, I look in the New Testament, and I don't necessarily see anyone really in full-time ministry. We notice that Paul made tents.
Well, let's go with this. You know, they did travel around, and Paul had to make tents. He did so to sustain his income. Although Paul does say that, you know, it is right for a minister to live, you know, for the person to reap what they sow. For a minister to live from the gospel is okay as long as they are actually doing it. Now, let me tell you what, being a full-time pastor, being a pastor of, is a full-time job. It absolutely is if you're going to completely devote yourself to what you're doing. But, you know, because it is so hard to deal with all, you talk about 20 people, 20, 30 people, then we get up there to, let's say you got a small church of about 100 people. Well, you have a small church of 100 people. How many problems, marital problems are you going to be dealing with? How many child problems are you going to be dealing with? Or maybe somebody lost a job problems, or this person can't understand this and don't know how to do this or whatever. And so you have to be open and hurt when those sheep hurt. It is a full-time job. It is an absolute full-time job. What they did do, though, in the Bible is they consistently, it was home groups. You know, the example is they went to the mega church to hear the Torah. They advised that. They say the Torah was being read in every city. And so they would go to, they'd listen to the Torah being read, and then they would go to various homes afterwards. And that's where what people want to call the New Testament church was spawned, is actually on the going out of the Sabbath meeting after the Torah was read. As a close of the Sabbath, that would be on Saturday night at the end of the Sabbath, and they would have these meetings. Well, and they would gather things together and all the tithes and offerings, so it would already be there for them, and they would distribute it to the other places that they went that needed it. So what they did, they established a lot of home churches, you know, and leadership arose out of those until they grew into small fellowships into what they were. But they traveled around, and Paul, he didn't want to take money from the gospel at all. Paul was the guy that, you know, hey, I'm going to go work. I don't know how I did both things. Because why? Paul had other people in the body of Messiah under him. You know, while Paul was the apostle, there was pastors. That's a separate job. Evangelist is a separate job. Read the breakdown in Corinthians. In fact, I did on the last program. There is a breakdown to the body of Messiah to help that, and it all under one leadership, which is the apostle. There's nothing wrong with going and hearing an apostle's message being heard. That's what you should do, and he should be in charge. But then the breakdown of the church has people to help in all those different things, and that's why we have what we call a fivefold ministry. Back to you.
Yes, yes, and I'm glad you pointed out that fivefold ministry, because they all have a function. And if you don't have them all working, your group is not going to function. You know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And unfortunately, you see too much in the mega church. You see pastor, but you don't see anything else. Nobody wants to take that apostolic role. And even if somebody calls themselves an apostle, which sometimes I think that's legit, if they've started a lot of churches and they still have to oversee all those churches, then indeed I can accept that.
Well, amen. Let's go with this. You know, an apostle, and I know I don't have to teach him this, so I'm saying it to you folks. An apostle, the word says, is one sent forth. That's the one that the Father sends forth, and he's sending forth on a mission. His mission, if it's true of God, then the Father will send other people there to help him. And then he will either continue on, or he'll settle down in a leadership role in that one place. But and as far as modern-day apostles, when you got people popping up saying, hey, I'm an apostle, and even a pastor, the reason that I use the title Pastor Dan is because even though I have certificates that say I am, It's what, you know, it's what the people called me. They called me Pastor Dan, and so it just stuck. But the point is, a pastor or apostle, it's somebody that's sent forth, and it has a specific job, and that's what an apostle is. It's not something that, you know, we should say, oh, you know, go around bragging about or whatever. If I'm a prophet, per se, I'm not saying I'm a prophet. If I was a prophet, I wouldn't have to tell you I was a prophet. You would know that's what I was. I was a prophet because of the words that I speak and the actions that I do. The same way with apostle. He doesn't need to be told he's an apostle. He doesn't have to go around claiming the title, because what he is doing, his actions, the word says, judge them by their what? Fruit.
Their works.
Back to you. Yeah, by their works. Judge them by their fruit. Back to you.
Yes, right now I'm working on a book for a man who does have a prophetic ministry in the body of Christ. And the Lord keeps showing these things, and shortly thereafter they come to pass. But I do find a lot of times his prophetic work is often corrective. It's uplifting. And that's what he does. And I've never really worked on a true prophet's works before. Usually I get teachers, I usually get pastors, and
right.
This is the first time I've done an actual prophet. It's been interesting.
You're saying something that really hits the nail on the head, and I don't know, I think your line's got a little static on it, but let me say this about prophets, folks. The one sure sign of a prophet, here's the first time. A bunch of people think, he's going to tell me my future. That isn't really where it starts at. The prophet is like a guy that's a bricklayer. The bricklayer, the first guy goes out and he puts a string line down, and you follow that string line to keep your brick straight and make the wall straight. Now, the prophet sits here and he looks down that string line and he says, oh, hey, your bricks are a little out of line, move them back over here. Well, the string line is the Torah. And the prophet looks down that string line of the Torah and, you know, hey, apostle, you're messing up, you're stepping over that line, and he has to tell you. And that's what he does. And his words will cut you through the bone. And he's using a real prophet. He's using a guy. You really don't want to have the guy around a lot because he's always bothering you, you know, back to you.
Oh, yes. But it's been interesting to work with him. And he's,
well, I've
sent a couple of his books to you.
Yeah, amen.
And,
oh, I know you were talking about.
And that's one of them. We published it, and about 3 weeks after we published the book, everything we were ascribing to one of the characters in the book showed up being true of Hillary Clinton, with all her spirit cooking and her witchcraft.
Yeah,
and we talked about it in the book 3 weeks before it hit, and we published it 3 weeks before it hit the wires.
Right.
And it was
right. Pretty.
It was just
amazing.
Excuse me.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, you know what? Every time we talk, you just always run out of time. I don't know what you do to the time. Put us in a time warp or what? But you better tell them where to find you at, because we're out of time.
Yes. Okay. It's WhiteStoneFoundation.org. By the way, if you're interested in the book, it's copperscroll.org. You can go there and read some excerpts from the book, and you can order it from there. It's on Amazon, too. It's the Copper Scroll Incident. And I've had some very interesting reviews on it. And, by the way, he is working on a sequel to it. It'll probably be a series because it just keeps going and going. And
I plan on having him on, just for the record. I still plan on having him on, and I'm glad you reminded me, because that guy's been on my list for a while to get on here, and I also want to talk about him with about his internet work, and you know what I'm talking about. But we're out of time. Mm-hmm. Give him the main website real quick, and I got to say goodbye to you.
Okay, whitestonefoundation.org.
Whitestonefoundation.org. Folks, I'll send a link over to the pastor's page where you can find it easy. Thanks, and be blessed, brother. You'll be back on again. I love having you on, and you are one of my regulars, as long as you
I'll
want to be.
I look forward to it.
All right, you be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that's Tom Mack. Go over and check him out. I send a link over there wherever you listen to this program later on tonight when it comes to podcasts. Check it out. Also, there's an extra program coming up tonight. I was on the Omega Man program last night, and it was a real good program. And check out the one my wife and I did earlier, and she's always a blessing. Kind of a pain sometimes, but always a blessing. But remember, folks, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Please pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and radio. Airtime, too. I've got to get it paid. So pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.